begin the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. And just to recap, Boaz has returned home. He's asked the foreman of his servants, who is this young woman that is working in the field? And his servant relates what he knows about Ruth. So then after this, we begin in verse 8. So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you, and whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes, that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." Just once again, bow in prayer before we open up God's word. Our great God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what it teaches us and instructs us about how we are to live and conduct our lives in a way that honors and glorifies you. But more importantly, Lord, how it shows us the way of salvation and our need of a Savior. And we pray, Lord, that tonight that you will open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts and minds and give us understanding. And may you pour out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, may you bless my mind and my mouth, and may I proclaim your truth with boldness and with clarity. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen. Where do you find comfort in times of trouble? We all have something that we kind of rush to when we're under stress or we're in times of trouble when we need some comfort. I have a nephew that when his younger sister was born, he adopted a throw pillow and named it his comfy pillow. So whenever something is just too much for him, he runs and he grabs his comfy pillow. Whenever we try to sit with it and use it as a pillow, he admonishes us and says, "No, that's my comfy pillow." So he runs to his pillow. He runs to his pillow for comfort. But where do we run? Where do we run when we face difficult times and difficult circumstances? Where do we seek our comfort and our shelter and our protection? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, he recounts to his disciples and instructs them not to worry about what they will eat or what they will wear. And he goes through a list of things and says to them, is seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Not to worry about what you will wear, what you will drink. And that kind of ties into this text that we have this evening. Not to worry in times of trouble or difficulties, but to seek the Lord. Seek first the Lord and His righteousness. And we have here in Ruth the teaching of to seek first the Lord and you will be given comfort. In times of trial and tribulation and difficult circumstances that you find yourself in, seek first the Lord and He will give you comfort. Well, as we look at this passage tonight, we'll be looking at it in three parts. First, we will look at how Ruth finds favor and comfort in the household of Boaz. And we see this in verses 8 through 9 and 13. Boaz begins by saying to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. My daughter." Boaz has just heard recounted from his foreman who this woman was. And the first thing that the foreman points out is that she is a Moabite. She is from the land of Moab. She is the one who returned with Naomi. But here, Boaz calls her, "My daughter. My daughter, listen to me." And what is Boaz doing? He's breaking down, or attempting to break down, some natural barriers that would have existed between him and Ruth. Here she is, a foreigner. She is a Moabitess. And Boaz is calling her "my daughter," trying to break down that physical and natural barrier. But one of the things that this greeting does, or these first words that Boaz says to Ruth, is it shows more about, and reveals more about Boaz's character, the character of Boaz, how much he cares for this woman. It is a term of endearment. He didn't walk up to Ruth and simply say, "Hey, you girl, don't go to another field. Just stay here. You'll be fine." But he goes up to her and says, "Listen, my daughter." He appeals to her. So he's trying to do two things. He's trying to break down these natural barriers that would have existed between he and Ruth as a Moabite and an Israelite. But he's also showing his great concern and compassion. And the author of Ruth is revealing to us more about the character of Boaz. We saw last week how his household was centered around the Lord and his servants loved him. He loved his servants. He was a gracious master. We're seeing now that he is gracious not only to his servants, but even to foreigners. And he's calling her his daughter. We also see in these verses his care for Ruth, and that he instructs her to do two things. He first instructs her to not go away and glean another field. Don't go away from here. And then he says to her, "Stay with my servant girls. Do not glean in another field." You see, Ruth could have gone to Boaz's field and gleaned a little bit here, and then she could have the next day or later that day gone to another field and gleaned from another one. But being who she was, a young widow, a foreigner, there is no real telling what kind of man she would come across as she gleaned in these other fields. And we see this in how Boaz encourages her to stay in these fields. He says to her, "Have I not commanded the young men?" Whereas the NIV translates it, "I have told the men not to touch you." See, he's commanded his men, saying that this woman is off limits. And this word here, touch, it could mean to strike. It could mean to touch in an inappropriate way. And what it's revealing is that Boaz has instructed his young men, or his servants, not to harass in any way this woman, this Moabitess, this foreigner. But he also tells her to, as the NIV puts it, "Stay here with my servant girls." Now this translation here is fairly weak. This same word that is here translated, "Stay here with my servant girls," or "stay here," is the same word that earlier in chapter 1, verse 14, it brings the idea of clinging, of Ruth clinging to Naomi, not leaving as Orpah had left. In chapter 1, verse 14, "At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." So Boaz is not telling her to merely stay with his servant girls, or to stay with his maidservants. but to cling to them. To cling fast to them and to go where they go. We see that, and he instructs her to watch as the men are harvesting and follow after the girls. To become, in a sense, amongst one of them. To cling to them, to follow after them. To do what they're doing. To behave as they behave. And so she finds favor in the eyes of Boaz. We see this favor displayed in how he calls her daughter. How he commands his young men not to touch her. To leave her alone. Don't harass this woman. And how he encourages her to stay in this field. Not to go into another one. To remain here. To find all she needs in his field. In his property. He also commands Ruth that when she's thirsty, to go get a drink from the water that the young men have filled, the jars of water that the young men have filled. Now, this is completely backwards in this day and age. Ruth, a foreigner, a Moabitess, going to the young men and getting water from them. In this day and age, in this society, she being the foreigner, let alone being a woman, a maidservant, should have been drawing the water for the men. Boaz shows his concern and his favor that she has found in his eyes by instead instructing her to go get water from the young men. Don't be afraid of them. They're not going to harm you. They're not going to harass you. They're not going to touch you. I've commanded them. And go get your water from them when you are thirsty. In addition to favor that Ruth finds in Boaz's field, in the household of Boaz, Ruth finds comfort. We see this in verse 13. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have given me comfort. I have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls. This phrase, you have given me comfort, or you have and have spoken kindly to your servant. The last half of that phrase, you have spoken kindly to your servant, is literally, you have spoken upon the heart of your maidservant. What a beautiful picture that is. What a beautiful picture of comfort this is that Ruth is finding in the household of Boaz. She says, you have comforted me. You have spoken upon the heart of your maidservant. She finds great comfort in the household of Boaz. And I want you to imagine being Ruth. Imagine being Ruth in this situation. Here you have left all that you've ever known and loved, and you've come to a land that you have not known, to a people that you have never known before, as Boaz says in this text. And you leave the only person that you know and love, Naomi, and you go to hopefully find favor in a field so that you can glean and find food for you and your mother-in-law. Imagine the fear. Imagine the turmoil, the anxiety that Ruth would have been experiencing as she ventured off into the unknown. She had no idea what would come across. She had no idea what man she would meet. But by God's grace, she happens upon the field of Boaz. And Boaz comforts her. He calms her fears. He alleviates her anxiety. In his words to her, he shows her that he is the man that she was hoping that she would come across. He is a gracious man. He is a kind man. He is a man of standing. He is a man who treats his servants well. He is a man who treats foreigners well. And she has found grace or favor in his eyes. And she has comforted, and he has comforted her. To the point where she says, you have spoken upon the heart of your maidservant. You have spoken kindly to your maidservant. So as we begin to look at this text, we find that Ruth finds favor and comfort in the household of Boaz. But secondly, I want to look at how Ruth receives this favor and this comfort. And we see this in verses 10 and 13. In verse 10, "At this she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes, that you notice me, a foreigner? May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord,' she said. 'You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls.'" We see in verse 10 the Hebrew word for worship used here. She bowed down to Boaz. Now, this is not a worship in the sense that worship that we would offer to God, but alone is due to Him. But as worship, it is a humble submission too. It is an inferior showing the proper respect to a superior. And she bows down before Boaz. She bows her face to the ground before him. She does not receive Boaz's favor or his kindness, his comfort, in a way where she thinks she deserves this. She bows down in humble submission before him. And one of the things that is interesting here is that Boaz begins this section by calling Ruth my daughter. As I mentioned, trying to break down these barriers and showing the comfort and the care that Boaz has. Well, Ruth ends this first interchange by drawing Boaz back to the fact that she is a foreigner. She's drawing Boaz back to the fact that there is this division between them. She is a foreign woman. "Why have I found favor in your eyes? I am a foreigner." She did not think highly of herself. She did not think of herself that she deserved this in any way. But instead of embracing at first what Boaz is offering her, the status of a daughter, breaking down these barriers, she humbly drives Boaz back home and acknowledges who she is, to the point of, "I am a foreigner. I am a foreign woman. I do not deserve your favor." But we also see that she brings herself actually below her maidservants. The commentator Daniel Block quotes another commentator in reference to words that are used in reference to servants in the Hebrew. And this other commentator says that possibly considers the word for servant that's used here by Ruth as a female servant of the lowest rank. She could be given as a gift to accompany a bride, and if her mistress proved barren, could bear a child on her behalf for the husband, although this would not change her status. Ruth views herself as occupying the lowest rung on the ladder, but then places herself even lower. In verse 13, she says, "You have spoken kindly to your servant," or to your maidservant, "but I do not have the standing of one of your servant girls." She thought so humbly of herself that in the Jewish society of this time, she put herself below the lowest rung of the ladder. She did not try to exalt herself. She did not try to puff herself up. But she reminds Boaz that she is a foreigner. And as a foreigner, she places herself under the lowest rung of his staff. She is not at the level of one of his maidservants. This reminds me of Romans 12, verse 3, along with 12, verse 10, where Paul admonishes us not to think too highly of ourselves, that we are to honor others above ourselves. As the body of Christ, as we interact with one another, this in Romans chapter 12, Paul is again, using his analogy of a body. How a body works together. There are various members and parts. And God has brought each and every one of us as a part of his body to become, you know, in fellowship with one another as his body and to fulfill a role. We have different gifts. We have differing abilities. And one is not more important than the other. But he uses each and every one of us to build up his body. And so, no matter what role we have, no matter what gift we have, we are not to think too highly of ourselves, but to look across the aisle or in the pew and think of the person next to us as higher than ourselves. Ruth had this attitude in her. She did not think too highly of herself. Boaz tries to elevate her and calls her his daughter. But she brings him right back to the fact that, no, I am a foreigner. And then after the second dialogue here tonight, she says to him, I am below your maidservants. I am below the lowest rung on your ladder. And so Boaz, or Ruth, finds favor in the household of Boaz. And how does she receive this favor and comfort? She receives it with humility. She receives it with humble submission. But why? This is the last thing we'll look at tonight. Why does Ruth find favor and comfort in the house of Boaz? Why does Ruth find and receive this favor and this comfort? We see this in verses 11 to 12. Boaz replies to Ruth, I have been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with the people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. We first see that Ruth has left everything that she has known and loved. As I referenced chapter 1, verse 14 earlier, Orpah does what you would expect. The sister-in-law of Ruth does what you would expect in this situation. She goes back home. She goes back to her family. She goes back to her homeland. She goes back to everything she knows and loves. Ruth, on the other hand, clung to Naomi. She leaves behind everything that she has loved, everything she has known, her homeland, her father, her mother. She has left it all behind and followed Naomi. This reminds me of Luke 14, verse 26, where Christ has a very hard saying. He says that unless anyone hates his father, his mother, his brother, or sister, and does not take up his cross daily and follow Christ, that person cannot be his disciple. Unless you hate father and mother, brother and sister, you cannot be Christ's disciple, he says in Luke chapter 14, verse 26. What does Christ mean by that? You know, our Lord and Savior uses language. He uses figures of speech. He uses hyperbole. Hate your father and mother. He's going to extremes. But in that, he is saying, if you are not willing to leave behind everything you know and love and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. Many of us have grown up in a Christian home. Many of us have grown up in a covenant home where we've experienced loving Christian parents. But that is not always the case. Christ calls people out of non-Christian homes. He even calls people out of very terrifying situations in their home. Now, it could be that a non-Christian home is a very loving home on the outside. To the world's eyes, it's very loving. The parents love their children. They don't mistreat them. that Christ calls them out of that. And those children, even though they have loving parents, if their parents reject them because of their newfound faith, Christ says they must follow Him. They must set aside these loving parents and follow Him if they are to be His disciples. Ruth has done this. She has left everything that she has known. She has left everything. Father, mother, homeland. Her gods that she knew growing up. She has left them all. Now Boaz says that she did this. And he calls the Lord to bless her for seeking refuge under His wings. To seek refuge under His wings. Now we can't read too much into the motivation for what Ruth did. Why she clung to Naomi and came to the Promised Land. We don't know all of her motives. What we do know is that she says to Naomi, "Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die." And then here Boaz testifies about her that what he has heard of her is that she has left everything that she has known. She has sought refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. We don't know how much Ruth really understood or comprehended about who this God was, who this God is. The only way she could have known about Him was what she was told and instructed from Naomi. But what little she did know, we have in this chapter, and in the chapter before, testimony that she sought her refuge under His wings. She turned aside all that she knew and she loved, and she sought her refuge under the wings of the Almighty. And this is the reason that Boaz gives us in this dialogue that she has found such favor and such comfort. She has found such favor and comfort because she has sought her refuge under the wings of the Almighty. And that is the connection with Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. God will take care of His children. He will take care of those who call upon Him, whom He has called from all of eternity and gathered as His body. He desires to do us good. He takes pleasure in doing us good. And as any parent would understand, sometimes your children don't see what you do as good for them at the time. And that happens in our lives as God's children as well. He brings things into our lives, trials, into our life for our good. We may not understand it, but it is for our good. And He calls us to seek Him. In those times of distress, in those times of trial and tribulation, to seek Him first. To seek our comfort and our refuge under His wings. His outspread pinions. There's a beautiful picture of a mother bird closing in her chicks around her, protecting them from whatever danger they are frightened of. It's God giving us a picture of His nurture and His care that He gives to His people. When we are frightened, when we are facing trials and tribulations, to take our comfort and security under His loving embrace, His wings, that can protect us from harm. And so, as we looked at this text, we see that Ruth finds favor in the household of Boaz. She finds favor and comfort. And she receives this favor and comfort with humility. She receives it with humility, reminding Boaz that she is a foreigner. Placing herself below the lowest rung of his household. She receives this comfort and favor because she sought refuge under the wings of the Almighty. This is the author of Ruth again, drawing us to the fact that it is the Lord who is at work here. It is the Lord who had guided Ruth to the field of Boaz. It is the Lord who convicted Naomi to come back to the land of promise. And it is the Lord who is ultimately providing the favor and the comfort to Ruth, using his servant Boaz as his instrument. And so, my brothers and sisters, you and I must at all times seek first the Lord. Whatever trial and tribulation comes, we must seek first the Lord. And he will give us comfort under his wings. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the comfort that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that when you bring trials into our life, trials and tribulations that at times seem insurmountable, we begin to think that we cannot handle these things. Lord, may we remember your loving kindness, your faithfulness. May we seek first our comfort under your wings. May we seek first the kingdom of Christ, your kingdom and your righteousness. And may you add to us, Lord, your comfort. In Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen.